Lord, we do stand on the promises of Your Word. Help us to hear Your Word today in our minds and in our hearts. I pray this, Jesus, in Your name and for Your glory. Amen. There are people in the back, I know, that have sun in your eyes and you can't see around the posts, and you're welcome to move closer in. There are seats up here. There are seats over there. You can slip up and around and move, and nobody will notice. And if they do, they'll applaud your ambition to see. Well, today is our second Sunday in Lent, and my sermon title is The Narrow Door. The gospel reading is my text. I want to begin by telling you my friend, my former pastor, a fellow minister who's now retired, Kent Hughes. A number of years ago, he tells this story, he was at a conference in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It was a conference for pastors. And one of the plenary session speakers, Alistair Begg, some of you have heard his sermons on the radio, I'm sure, or online, he told the gathering about an early morning encounter he had on the day that he was set to speak. He had gone early to a restaurant near the Harvard campus, and he went there to have some breakfast and to read over his talk and polish it up a little bit. As he got ready to leave, he confessed he felt a little bit lonely there. It's a very secular environment, and he was just sort of hoping maybe to see somebody, and he looked, and there was a young woman reading her Bible at a table. And so he walked over and he said, "I see you're reading your Bible. You must be a Christian." Her immediate response was this: "Oh, yes, I've found the narrow way." Begg thought to himself, what an unusual way to identify oneself. But he learned that this young Korean woman, an undergraduate at Harvard, came from a Buddhist family 10,000 miles away to come and study at Harvard. In her family, she said, they worshiped over 3 million gods, over 3 million gods. She had left that family to come study at Harvard and dropped into a university campus where most of the people celebrated pluralism. She understood quite well what it meant to be a Christian. That to follow Jesus Christ in her family back in Korea or on a Harvard campus is indeed a narrow way. This morning I want us to look at Luke 13, contemplating this narrow way. You know the context. It's laid out clearly in the first verse. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and nearing the city, a man cries out to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be a few?" But Jesus does not answer the question. Instead, he turns the thing back to the man and says, "Don't worry about how many are going to be saved. Focus on yourself. Examine yourself to see if you are on the narrow way to enter into the kingdom." Jesus makes it very clear throughout his ministry to this inquirer and to others, that the way to heaven, that place of everlasting life and joy for people who have a life-saving relationship of God with God through Jesus, is a narrow way. Many are called. Few will choose it or be chosen. Jesus says in verse 24, he says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." Now, the word "strive" maybe doesn't quite connote everything he's saying. In fact, the Greek word there is a word that we get agony from. Agonize, wrestle with. The whole issue of striving, agonize over through the narrow door. You say, agonize? Yeah, I think it is. I think many of us, when we've been convicted of our sinfulness, and cry out to Christ, agonize over the state of our sinfulness and what we've done, I know I have. I know it was agony to me. And it was not always easy for me to believe that I could just be forgiven if I cried out for forgiveness. Agonizing over this, agonizing, striving to enter through the narrow door comes in a lot of ways. I had a phone call at about 7 o'clock last evening, and my dear aunt, who was very close to me, I was very close to her. She had just passed away. But she had agonized, not over her faith, but she'd agonized with her life the last few years. A widow, very ill, suffering physically, losing her mind to Alzheimer's. It was an agony near the end, but she clung to the Lord. And she had people around her to keep her eyes on the way she was going. Last night, Mary and I checked the news, and we saw a picture of a Christian minister, an American citizen named Saeed Abedini, who went to Iran to plant an orphanage. He is in prison. His wife has received a letter from him saying, I'm here, I'm alive, but she could see very clearly that he's being tortured, he's being beaten, and they'll back off and let him alone if he'll do one thing. All he has to do is deny Jesus Christ. All he has to do is say, Jesus is not King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and God, and I will cease to worship him. Some of us live in a very easy environment, don't we? I'm one of them. Strive to enter through the narrow door. It's not an issue of the grace is not free. It is free. But receiving it and walking in it is a very difficult thing at times. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talks about how the ancient Jews were left. We heard the reading this morning. The Jews were in bondage to the Egyptians. God sends Moses in to liberate them. They're called out of bondage. They're led out of bondage. They go into the wilderness. They're on their way to the promised land that he's promised them. He feeds them with manna. He feeds them. He gives them water. Beautiful, clean, fresh water from the rock. And Paul says, the rock is Jesus Christ. Even that rock that moved through the wilderness was Jesus Christ. They're fed. They're nourished with the water they need. They're brought out of bondage, pointed to the promised land. And they would not go in and take it because they lacked the one element that's required. Strive to have the faith to be able to go ahead and take what's offered you. You see, to be human, to be fully human, means we are given some freedoms. We're given some choices. And that's why the scriptures say, choose this day whom you will serve. All of those Jews brought out of bondage, and yet they would not go in and take what was offered to them and given to them free. Well, we are in an environment that makes walking with God and remaining faithful to Christ a difficult thing. But it's clear as you read the scriptures. It's clear as you read the scriptures. It's clear as you study something like the Didache, which is the teaching of the 12, probably put together by the early apostles, that there's a way of life and there's a way of death. And the way of life, we're called to this way of life. But many will not take it. They prefer to walk the way of death, thinking somehow that the door is wide and they'll be able to go on in anyway. I want to make it clear to you as we look at the end of the gospel reading, and Mary read it to you this morning, that this is not a God who delights. We're not talking about a God who delights in sending people to eternal damnation. Because look at Jesus, and I love the end of this gospel reading, verses 34 and 35. Jesus looks over Jerusalem, and he weeps over them. with a heart like a loving mother. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you only knew what I wanted to do for you, what I wanted to give you. George MacDonald put it this way. He said, people who end up going to eternal damnation, these people are not sent there by God. They choose a way of death and reject the way of life. The Jews were given a way of life. They were given a promised land, a land of milk and honey. They chose to wander in the desert, and only a few of them ever entered in. What about you? What about me? Well, there are a number of lessons in this marvelous text that we have for today. And it's a good Lenten text, isn't it? As a season in Lent when we reflect and ask the Lord to show us where we are with Him. The lessons are numerous. Let me mention a few. First of all, God loves us and has appointed a way for us to be saved. And as I've said, to be fully human is to be free to make choices. But Jesus also makes it very clear that we need to beware. He's saying caution. Notice the caution light. Many are taught ways into eternal life that aren't valid. Remember how Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, she said, well, you Jews worship here, but we Samaritans. He said, you don't know who you worship. He's not going to go along with her and say, oh, that's interesting. Let's have a seminar and discuss it for a semester. Your view of how one should worship God and who God is. No way. He speaks the truth. And what he's saying to these Jews is, many of you think you are going to enter into eternal life because you're Jews. You're children of Abraham. He said, that ain't going to get you in. And in the text it said, when he said the door will be shut on some of you, they're going to say, well, not only were we children of Abraham, but we ate with you. We celebrated the Passover in your spirit. Oh, my golly, we were in the streets when you taught. We followed and listened to your teaching. He said, that's not the issue. You enter into relationship with me and into eternal life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So turn from the way of death and walk to the way of life. I think this is a warning for us in the church. I think it's a big warning for us. I think there are a lot of people that think, there probably are even some in here this morning, that think, I go to church regularly. I even come for Holy Communion. My golly, I've been baptized, I've been confirmed, I joined the church. I give a lot. Therefore, I'm saved. Maybe you are. Most of you who behave that way are. But be not deceived. Those things alone, baptism, confirmation, giving of your gifts, celebrating all the holy days, this isn't what gets it. No, it isn't. It's a relationship with God the Father through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personal relationship. And I'm going to tell you, and I don't think you're going to encounter it here, either in the kids don't encounter it in Sunday school, and you're not going to hear it from the pulpit here, either from one of our interns preaching or certainly from Graham or me or anybody else that comes in here and preaches. But there's a lot of cheap grace being taught among Christians today. It's all over the place. And where they're being taught, just like the Jews of old were telling the people, oh, you're going to be in glory because you're children of Abraham. You're keeping the law. No. There's a primate over the Episcopal Church today who is teaching that the way is very wide. In fact, she was interviewed when she was doing an ordination, and somebody said, now you're doing an ordination. Now, what do you believe about it? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And she said, well, there are a lot of ways to interpret that. And what she really mouthed, as I read the interview very carefully, was the same thing that a Roman Catholic theologian argued many years ago, and it's still quoted often and is inculcated even in elements of that denomination. Many people out there are anonymous Christians. Oh, they don't worship Jesus quite like we do, but, you know, a good Muslim is an anonymous Christian. A good Buddhist, this young Korean girl in the restaurant in Cambridge, her parents are just anonymous Christians. They're worshiping these other gods, but it's all the same because the cosmic Christ, I hear that phrase almost ad nauseum, the cosmic Christ embraces all of this. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. I don't enjoy saying these things. I really don't, and I know it's not popular. And I know my wife heard the gospel in a church where the pastor was neo-Orthodox. We were young people. We didn't know what was going on. We had no idea about these categories. She heard the gospel and she got saved and helped pray me into the kingdom just a few years later. But I'm going to tell you, when people are teaching, as a whole stripe of that denomination did, that the first Adam sinned and everybody died, but now the second Adam has died and everybody's saved. They just don't know it. Everybody's saved. The first Adam killed us all, but the second Adam's died. Everybody's saved. That's being taught. It's being taught in divinity schools. It's being taught in seminaries, denominational schools all over the country. It's a very easy thing to say. What they're really saying is, wide is the way, few who cannot find it. Mary and I both went to a liberal Methodist seminary in Denver, Colorado. We both encountered almost all the faculty and many students coming in believing in a narrow way that had their minds laundered about that, and they were given a new theology. In fact, as I was pursuing ordination in that denomination, I was told by the man that was head of my ordination committee, Lyle, you will not be ordained if you don't knock off this unloving doctrine you're lifting up. I said, what are you talking about? He said, this doctrine of hell. If you don't knock it off, you're not going to be ordained. Jesus said, we want everybody to be one. And they quoted to me over and over again, John 17. Let them be one. God is love. God is love. And the truth is, the holy God is not going to bring you and me and the Adolf Eichmanns and the Adolf Hitlers of the world together in one place. And I'm just as wretched in the eyes of a holy God as Hitler was. But the point is, we're being called. And the way we can get cleansed to walk in and be in relationship with Him is to turn ourselves to Jesus and let Him wash us clean and let Him bring us in. We can walk right into the Holy of Holies through our great High Priest Jesus. Be not deceived. God's not going to be mocked. Don't listen to the poor teaching. Those Jews Jesus was talking to were victims of poor teaching. You're children of Abraham. You're going to make it. Some of you have been taught, wide is the way. You'll be fine. Jesus is saying, listen to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And trust me, because I'm weeping over you the same way I wept over Jerusalem. God is not a hateful and ugly God, but He's a holy God. And He's called us. He's given us a way to enter in. He loves you. He loves me. Sometimes I'm amazed, I think, that He could actually love me. And you people don't know the half of what I have been and what I still am in some ways. As I've said over and over again, this church is a hospital for sinners. We're people coming in seeking balm in Gilead. We're people coming in seeking to be healed. We're coming in because we're pretty certain it's a narrow way, and we want to go that way. Let me just conclude with this. The narrow way is not a way of law or a certain path. The narrow way is Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus makes it very clear. He said, eternal life that the narrow door takes us into. Eternal life is now to know the Father and Jesus Christ be sent. Many are called. Will you be chosen? This morning, as we enter into a time of prayer and we have Holy Communion, come and receive the grace from our Lord who wept over Jerusalem and their choice to reject the prophets and to reject God. Lent is a good time to look at this. Not to think we're better than people on a wider way. We're just very fortunate. And we have a responsibility to point others to this truth. Let's pray.